Welcome. Welcome to St. Andrew's Good Friday service. Someone said that it's always overcast on Good Friday. I don't know if that's true, but it does provide the appropriate setting for the service and the story that's going to be told this morning. I hope you have one of these. You will need one of these. This is our order of service, and it will proceed unannounced. So the hymns that are noted there are found in the hymnals in the pews in front of you. And there is one hymn insert, that's How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So you can pull that out at that part of the service. We won't be collecting an offering. If any of you want to, there are plates left by the doors for you. We ask you to leave the service in silence. Leave the service in silence. But you're invited to join us for coffee downstairs. So there's a staircase at the back. You can just take those down to the lower hall, and if you want to stay for some fellowship then.
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went again a second time away and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, praying the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people.
Amen.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him,
"Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?"
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed.
"Barabbas! Barabbas! Barabbas!"
they answered.
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
Pilate asked. They all answered, asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder,
"Crucify him!"
When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility."
All the people answered,
"His blood is on us.
Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Well, today we've invited you to gather around closely. You know this is a Presbyterian church when you have to add extra seats at the front to get people to move forward. But we've invited you to gather around closely to hear that well-known story about betrayal and accusation, about judging and sentencing, about the torture and death of an innocent man named Jesus. We've invited you to come together closely because while this story is familiar to maybe most of us, our tendency is to keep it at a distance. That is, we hear about those sleepy disciples, that murderous mob, that unjust ruler, and we judge those people. What kind of friends won't stay awake for their buddy? What kind of crowd presses for summary executions, executions without a proper trial? What kind of leader hands out death sentences to innocent victims? We judge these people. We keep them at a distance because we believe that, well, we are categorically different. But are we really that different? Think about it for a moment. Are we really that different? We may never have been directly involved in the death of an innocent person, but haven't there been times when we've been too tired to care, despite the pleadings of a loved one? Maybe. And haven't there been times when we've failed to do what is right, even participated in what is wrong? I mean, just think about the last time you walked into a gossip session, a little character assassination over morning coffee. Put yourself in that situation. Remember who was there. Remember what was said. and remember what you did or didn't do. Did you say something to stop it? Or did you sit there with your mouth shut, sort of washing your hands of what was happening? Maybe you added some scandalous stories of your own. We all like to participate with the crowd, don't we? And think about maybe the last time someone asked you for assistance, a couple of bucks for some food or a few minutes of your time. You were probably busy rushing about from one place to another. So did you stop? Did you pay attention? Or did you just shoo them away, giving them your thoughts and your prayers? Most of us, I think, have done this. And has there been a time, a situation in your life when you haven't simply hoarded what God's given you, but have actually taken what isn't yours? I think we all have done what is wrong and failed to do what is right. We can count off so many sins of commission and so many other sins of omission. They all speak against us. Speak against us of judging those characters in today's story. And if Jesus is a symbol of everything good, and we've done all these things and left all these things undone, well, it's not a stretch to say that we have conspired to kill him, that we are the tired disciples, that we are the mob, that we are Pilate. We who can so easily judge others find ourselves judged by the cross. And so the words of the scriptures are proven true. There is no one righteous, not even one. But if we've failed to do what is right and have continued to do what is wrong, or have simply been too tired or too lazy to care, well, is there any hope for us? Do we have anything to look forward to count on a dreary Good Friday morning? Well, you should know that, and it's no mistake, that today is called Good Friday. Good Friday. Yes, on this day, we have participated in the crucifixion of Jesus. But on this same day of treachery and murder, God's grace is offered to us. The same cross that pronounces our guilt proclaims our salvation. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his wounds we are healed. We have put Jesus on the cross. We have wounded him, and yet he doesn't resist our wickedness. He saves us. In that divine exchange of the unrighteous for the righteous, it's by his death and his suffering that he will save his persecutors. He will save even us from our sins. Today we are gathered around closely. I encourage you to draw close with your heart, to open your lives to this story. For when you see yourself in this story, you will recognize a serious need for mercy, and you will be surprised by an offer of forgiveness by amazing grace. Let us pray. Holy God, our faith wobbles and totters. We long to stand up for what we believe, but it's much easier to wash our hands of responsibility. We yearn to be principled and courageous, but it's easier to defer to the judgments of others and simply go along with the crowd. We dream of following Jesus to the end, but it's easier to slip into the darkness and betray that spirit that is striving within us. Forgive us, O God, for all the ways in which we have failed you. Help us to find courage in the dying of the light, where evil spreads its wings and takes flight this morning. Help us to welcome your grace in the dawning of a new day, a day that we await for, where we see the victory of forgiveness and grace. We ask this in Jesus' holy and powerful name, and we pray together that simple prayer that he taught his first disciples, a prayer that you will find in your bulletin. And we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. by night, but I find no rest.
From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. "He trusts in the Lord," they say. "Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him."
"He trusts in the Lord.
Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him."
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
"Do not write King of the Jews,
but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews."
Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death.
Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
He saved others.
Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen.
Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.
Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
Let's not hear it. This is not my lawful getting.
But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen.
You who are going to destroy the temple
and build it in 3 days, save yourself.
Come down from the cross.
If you are the Son of God.
Thank you.
I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.
This is the King of the Jews?
If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.
Let him come down now from the cross.
And we will believe him.
All the earth, all the rich of the earth, will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Surely, he was the Son of God.
Surely, he was the Son of God.
Surely, he was the Son of God.
Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea and was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Come with Jesus from Galilee, followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.